This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're going to talk some NBA basketball here on Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, MLK Day, huge day. Obviously, historically, but at the same time, a very huge day for the NBA. It's kind of like the beginning of the season. We had basketball all day long. Started early in the morning, and it continued on throughout the night when the fireworks erupted between the Clippers and the Rockets. We're going to talk about that and a little bit more right now with our next guest, our NBA insider, Jamison Welsh, who was kind enough to join us each week. Jamison, MLK Day did not disappoint in the National Basketball Association. I know for Jazz fans, they would have liked it to have gone a little bit better, but needless to say, that's a footnote compared to what happened last night between the Rockets and the Clippers.
Yeah, that's what everyone's talking about. It took over Twitter. It took over the news. Like, that's what everyone's kind of talking about. It's going to be very interesting to see how it shakes out, only because, like, the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors on Saturday, and that's the first primetime game of the year on Saturday. So what's going to take place? So there is Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, who else? Gerald Green was involved. Clint Capella was involved. So if you start suspending people for one or two games, there is no Rockets versus Warriors game that's going to be worth watching, because you're going to have, most of the Rockets core players out. So it's a very unfortunate situation. At the same time, it's hilarious when you think about it. Like, when you sit back and look at it, NBA, no one's going to fight anymore. That's first and foremost. Like, no one's going to fight. Like, there's not going to be any fisticuffs. It's a lot of barking, a lot of loud talking. But at the end of the day, no one's going to fight anyone. However, it's really funny when you break it down. Like, Chris Paul, 6 foot at best, is leading the charge into the old locker room, going a different route and doing it, having Capella knocking, going to the front, and, Austin Rivers is involved. No one likes Austin Rivers for various reasons. Like, it's like, we look back and hear all the storylines, it's actually really hilarious. But the execution, it's really a bad short story movie.
Well, okay, so I'm kind of, I don't know which side to be on here, because I'm the guy that says I hate the fraternity mindset in the NBA, and I do. I hate it. I love the fact that, 10 years ago, there were teams that genuinely did not like one another. It made for compelling basketball, and I like the idea of one entire unit hating and wanting to beat and another, another entire unit. And I think we have that missing from the NBA. I didn't have that vibe last night. I think that these two teams genuinely do not like one another. Now, on the flip side of that, nobody has really liked the Clippers for the last 6-7 years, because this was a team that the NBA spoon-fed Chris Paul to this organization. They had never really accomplished anything, but they were Lob City. They were giving themselves nicknames. And I think players in the association took offense to that. On the flip side, I don't think really too many teams like Houston as well. So you have two very unlikable teams from the mass going at it with one another. I'd be lying if I said I didn't like it last night, James. I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed the fact that Blake Griffin got into a shouting match with Mike D'Antoni. I enjoyed the fact that there were, elbows from Capella through going towards Blake Griffin the entire night. I love the fact that Chris Paul showed a little bit of a spark, like a hateful spark against his former team. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it.
So it was like, Jordan, look here. It was hilarious. Like, I'm telling you, sit back. So I was on a plane ride this morning, so I'm reading all the tweets and whatnot. When you sit back and look at it, it's really hilarious. It's more funny than anything, because we both know. We've covered the NBA for almost 10 years now. We both know guys aren't fighting. Like, guys, there's not going to be any drag down, fist fights, anything like that. There might be some loud talk in the background. Might be pushing or shoving, but guys aren't going to be swinging on each other. Like, that's just not going to happen. And we all know how NBA fights usually are over. It's usually over money, women, or some other petty disagreement. It's nothing really serious. But for some reason or another, last night, it got real. And whenever you hear about guys going to the locker room, that gets pretty intense. It's pretty funny. But the whole thing about the tunnel, some random tunnel, if anyone's ever been to Staples Center, they know that, the locker rooms are kind of, you can kind of get, like almost any arena, you can kind of get to any part of any room if need be. Like, all the rooms aren't that, there's no secret passageway or anything like that. But it's just the whole story is just really funny. It's more funny than serious. However, you cannot condone it as a league. You can't condone fighting. so I get it. But at the end of the day, it was hilarious. Like, it really was. Like, that's what, and that's the thing that makes NBA great, is that something like this happens, and it's not the end of the world. We're all laughing about it 24 hours or 12 hours later. It's not, oh my God, what are we going to do? Like, no, like, this is really funny, and we're all laughing about it while we're at work or we're at school the next day, instead of taking it too seriously and about to spin guys for five games and having a court case with the NFL would do. It's just, it's funny. It's entertaining. Like, NBA is the best entertaining sport there is right now.
Yeah, you know, as far as what led to the, whatever you want to call it, the invasion into the Clippers locker room, I would have loved to have been in the Rockets locker room when Chris Paul said, I can get us in the locker room. You want to go in the locker room? I can get us in the locker room. Let's go.
Right.
Look, I've covered more games than I could count at Vivid Sport Home Arena. To my knowledge, there's really only one way to get into the Utah Jazz locker room. So you would.
That's the old school arena.
Exactly. It's an old school arena. Right.
All the new arenas built the 2000 on, there's usually multiple ways, but the arenas. The arena you're speaking about, the one in Phoenix, the one in Portland, those are a little older, so it's a little bit different. But I'll give you a funny story. T-Mobile here in Vegas, I got lost and stumbled into the Lakers locker room during preseason. I took the back lane, I stumbled into the back of the locker room. So these new arenas, a little bit different.
it's a funny story all the way around. It was a great basketball game in which the Clippers actually won 113-102. If we take it a step further, we go away from the drama in this game. Let's look at where the Houston Rockets are right now. They're 30-12, but they've played 500 basketball now for the last month. I mean, they really, at one point in time, we were looking at the Rockets kind of setting the pace in the Western Conference and the Warriors playing the role of that team that kind of just lies in the weeds. That's not the case. Is there legitimate concern in this Houston team? Because I am seeing flaws. I know that they don't have a deep bench. We're 42 games. We're past the midway point now in the NBA season. Are there legitimate concerns for this Rockets team?
Of course. Whenever you go 7 or 8 deep and you play that kind of system, there's definitely going to be concerns. Both of their two best players have been out for stretches this year already. Chris Paul's been out twice already. And, you know, James Harden's out now. He's scheduled to come back either Thursday or Saturday. But at the end of the day, like, when you play this kind of system, like, Golden State plays a very similar system. But they go, like, 12 deep. Like, pretty much every guy on the roster can play or has played some significant minutes this year. They even started. Pretty much everyone on that roster has either started or has played over, like, 25 or 30 minutes. Mike D'Antoni, people talk about Tibbs running guys into the ground. Mike D'Antoni might be number two on that list. Like, Mike D'Antoni plays his 7 guys. And that's just it. Like, you know, that's a blowout or something. If it's a regular game, he might go to a third reserve. But other than that, that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get a full deep team. So when you play, when you lead the league in pace, when you shoot a lot of threes and you're exerting a lot of energy on offense, it's going to be very difficult for that to last going forward. So as you're seeing, yeah, they had the great start in the first, you know, fourth of the season. And then it tailed off because the legs aren't the same. You know, teams are adjusting. Teams are playing guys definitely running off the three. Now, they're still going to beat a lot of the bad teams in the league, but the teams that can do different things, you know, they can really stifle the Rockets. And if the Rockets aren't hitting threes, you can forget about it.
Well, let's look at this. Again, Golden State being the one seed. I'll tell you why that one seed is so important. If you're Golden State or if you're Houston, you don't want to play Minnesota in the second round. And Minnesota right now is a 3 seed, and they're going to float around that 3 mark. They're going to be around that 3 or 4 mark. Look, you don't want to play Minnesota in the second round. That's the last team you want to see before you go into the Western Conference Finals.
Well, here's the thing. Minnesota is an interesting team. I actually think Minnesota is the third best team out West right now. I think, all things considered, I think Minnesota, like, because I don't know if we're going to San Antonio. I have no clue, Jordan. I don't know if Kawhi's going to be healthy. I don't know what the rest of their roster is going to look like. They've been hit or miss for most of the year. I know what I'm going to get in Minnesota. I don't like Tibbs playing guys 45 minutes a night, but at least I know what I'm going to get. They're a very talented team that can make anyone, that can give anyone trouble. I think the spot, I think if you're the top 3 or 4, you're okay. Once you get out of the 5th to 8th spot, that's when it gets trouble, because now you're in a matchup to really, really struggle. But as long as the Rockets maintain that second spot, if they can stay in that second spot, they'll be fine, because home court is really good for them. And also, the Timberwolves are young, so I would still favor them over in a series. However, I don't know, man. Out West, I just don't know what's going to happen. It seems like someone's going to make a trade. Someone's going to do something, whether
right.
it's OKC blowing it up, whether it's Minnesota adding a piece, the Rockets adding a piece, the Spurs, when somebody's going to do something to kind of change the landscape of that middle of the pack. But at the end of the day, the West is the Warriors and everybody else.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jameson Welsh, our NBA insider here on Drive Time Sports. We'll flip to the East. Toronto, Boston at the top, Cleveland at number 3, and don't look now, but the Miami Heat have won 8 out of their last 10, and they're a game back now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You and I had this talk off of the cuff. This Cleveland team last night, we got a good look at it. Golden State did not play good basketball. Cleveland is old, they're small, they're slow. That's the problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I don't know if Kobe Altman can fix this problem within the next month, because that's basically his time frame to get this team set for the postseason. Jameson, right now there are legitimately 4 teams in the Eastern Conference that I could see taking Cleveland out in a 7-game set, and I haven't been able to say that since LeBron James rejoined Cleveland. I see 4 teams that could take them out in a 7-game set right now.
And here's the issue. They're having stuff internally. They have having internal problems. You have a lot of guys on that roster that have gotten paid and have provided little results since they've gotten paid. Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, guys that have recently gotten paid. I just don't know if that roster, as we mentioned earlier, it's older, it's slower, and it's small, and you just don't win in the league as an older team. The league right now is all about space and pace, switching on defense, being active. They're just not active. If you look at the Warriors are a really good defensive team, but they get their hands on a lot of basketballs. They deflect a lot of passes. They play the pass lanes well. They get unintentional steals just by being alert and being active, but that because their guys are younger. When you're older guys don't play defense. Like that's just, and that goes at all levels of basketball, whether you're in the pros or you're playing at 24-hour fitness or in a rec league or whatever. Older guys aren't there for defense. They're there to get up shots and be productive. So when Dwayne Wade has a little burst of 6 points in 4 minutes, it looks good. But on the other end, it's a struggle for him to get in a stance and guard his man or follow around Klay Thompson around a bunch of screens. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Cavs. They have a lot of decisions to make, especially when they don't know what LeBron's going to do this summer. They're probably going to end up moving that 8th pick. But if you're Kobe Altman, that's a job. That was a rough job when you took it. It's the reason why Chauncey Billups turned that job down, because you have to make a decision not knowing what's going to happen in the future with your star player. And also, the other guys on that roster, there's no guarantee Isaiah Thomas is there either. Then. So it's a lot going on there.
A lot going on. And when you look at what they've accomplished so far this year, they are 19-10 in the Eastern Conference. By far, their worst mark in the past 4 seasons since LeBron rejoined this team at the midway point. They've lost 10 games already in conference. That's insane to think about.
Yeah, I mean, but also, it's not, you know, it is and it's not. It reminds me, it's not as crazy as the year the Lakers had Dwight and Kobe and Powell and Nash. It's not that wild, but it's up there just because of an older team. Like, older teams, defensively, it's just so difficult, especially in this era. Like, if it was 10 years ago, they'd be fine. Like, they'd be a perfect team because that's how the game was played. But in this era where teams are getting up and out on them, it's tough because when you play against, like, Golden State, whoever gets the rebound can push it. And they push it at a speed where it puts your defense on the brink. And if you're already a bad defensive team and you have a guy that can handle the ball, whether it's to handle it to score or create for others, it really breaks your defense down, and they're doing it repeatedly. And that's just, I mean, it creates so many different gaps and so many different open shots and open lanes for guys. It's really difficult to win that way, especially when you're not shooting at a great clip. They only won 1 game in the finals last year, and that's because they set a record in the first half for points scored. If they don't do that, they get swept.
Yep.
And if they find a way to meet in the finals again this year, I would willing to bet that they will get swept.
Yeah, I really don't see them coming out of the East this year. But again, the next month, we have the trade deadline approaching. Someone's going to make a big move. Something's going to go down, which could change the course of the path in the Eastern Conference. I don't see Cleveland getting there this year. Jameson, it's always fun to get you on and get your basketball insight. I appreciate the time, and I know we'll catch up again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
Definitely. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return, right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.